I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings this morning. Now, Mother's Day, as you all very well know, comes around every year. And I'm sure you're also aware of the fact that Mother's Day is not necessarily something that the church has been told to participate in. There's no message from Jesus in here. It says, thou shalt honor mothers in May. But I think this is one good thing that we do see from our culture, is the importance of honoring mothers, fathers. I think that's an important thing. And we're turning to the book of 2 Kings, and you might say, why go to the 2 Kings? And well, as I was considering what we were going to look at today in motherhood, I began to think through the scriptures of the different examples of mothers. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, we have a text here that highlights two mothers. Two mothers that I've always loved these stories. But what we're going to see from these mothers is we're going to see how God has designed motherhood. Now, would you agree with me that motherhood is a design of God? God came up with it, didn't he? This is all God's idea. I mean, God created the world. He put all of these things together, and he designed his creatures that there would be a male and there would be a female, and they would come together and they would bear forth children. And invariably, in most cases, it is the mother that it tends to nurse the child and bring the child up to a certain age. One thing that is interesting in the scriptures is that when you see children and the importance of them being taught, it doesn't necessarily focus on the mother, does it? It focuses a lot on the father. And it's interesting how tradition in our culture has kind of flipped that around. And how so often it is the expectation that mom is the one that deals with the kids and dad is the one that works and provides. And I know that's our culture, and I know in a lot of ways that is the way it is. But I want you to understand, biblically speaking, both father and mother need to be involved in our children's lives. Well, 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a fascinating read. Follow along with me, beginning in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, well, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Well, then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and she told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now stop there. This is the first example of the mother. Our first mother that we're going to look at. The second one is continues on with the Shunammite woman. But I want to just, let's just focus in on this first example of this mother. Now, background. This is the prophet Elisha. Now, Elijah comes first, and then Elisha. And Elisha prayed, and he asked for a double portion. He asked that God would use him doubly more than the prophet Elijah. Well, obviously, Elisha was known as a man of God. And in these days, of the Old Testament, it was the way that people were to interact with God was through prophets and priests. And that was their contact with God, unless God appeared to them in some supernatural form, in some supernatural way. And so the situation that we see this widow in is that her husband has died. Her husband was a man of God. It's described that he was son of one of the prophets. He dies. He feared the Lord, and he left his wife and two children, two boys. He also left something else, a debt. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing a situation that's not ideal. It's not perfect. It's actually a very troubling situation for a young mom. With two small boys, husband has died, she has a debt to pay. And in that culture, if you cannot pay the debt, what's it say? They were coming to get her children. And her children would work. And her children would pay off the debt. Well, this is a difficult situation for any woman to be in. And as we look at this text, I want us to see at least three things about motherhood. And the first thing I believe we need to recognize is that motherhood involves risk. A lot of risk. Now, the flip side of that, if motherhood involves risk, then what does that demand of a godly woman? It demands that she trust. This woman is in a difficult situation. She has had children, and when I say risk, motherhood involves risk, here's what I mean. Well, childbirth. Childbirth was hard because of the curse of sin. It was painful. And it didn't always work out so well, did it? Hardships. Times will get hard, and mothers know very well how hardships impact children. Accidents can happen. I don't know how many times I will look at my kids and see their black and blue mark that's right here instead of an empty eyeball. And you just think about all the different accidents that could happen. You see, motherhood involves risk. You're bearing forth a child into a very difficult world, and you have to recognize that there's risk involved in that, but understanding again that motherhood is God's design. What I really try to do as I put this message together is just try to get inside of the head of a mother. I mean, I am not one, and I will never claim to be one. I couldn't operate that way. But I have to. You have to admit the fact that moms and you guys deal with this aspect of there is risk. You have brought forth these children into the world. You are intimately connected with them, and you realize the intensity and the dangers that are out there. Illness. What if my children get sick? What if I get sick? All of these things can happen. All of these things do happen, don't they? Many of you out there, many of you mothers, have dealt with these things, these hardships and challenges of life. I want you to be encouraged today that yes, motherhood involves risk, but you have a God who sees all things, and a God who can be trusted. There's a verse that we all know. We know it well in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. You know, moms, I want to encourage you in the midst of hardship and challenges. I want you to trust. God is there. Trust in the character and the promises, the purposes of God. One of the greatest ways that you can strengthen your faith and your trust is getting to know your God. And as God becomes bigger in your knowledge and understanding, you will understand and recognize when the risks and the hardships and difficulties come, your God can handle it. Motherhood involves risk. Trust in God. And realize this, that being a mother is something, it's impossible to start alone, and it's designed to never be accomplished alone. Now, you could look at it this way. You could say that God gives the baby in conception through the coming together of a man and woman, and I believe that. God provides all the truth that is needed to teach the children about Himself. Mom, you're not alone. You're not alone. The church has been called upon to come alongside and teach the younger women how to love their children. Women, you're not alone. And what about this? Fathers. Fathers are to be leaders in the home. They're to be an integral part of the home and of the lives of their children. Mothers are not to be alone. But motherhood does involve risk. And as this lady in our text is realizing, her husband has died, there has been a debt that has been left. What is she to do? Well, we're seeing here the second thing that I believe is important to understand about motherhood, and that is that it involves responsibility. Doesn't it? It involves a lot of responsibility. And as I thought and contemplated about my mother, about my wife, just about mothers in general, it's incredible to think the responsibility that you women carry on your shoulders as a mom. I mean, you have the responsibility to make sure that the children are fed. You know, we could say that dads have a part in that, but it's interesting, in our culture at least, moms seem to cook most of the meals. No offense to you men that do the cooking. But in the scriptures, time and time again, you will see references to a little baby nursing. Obviously, it's mother. Mom, you have that responsibility to bring that child into the world and to nourish that child to full age. That's a tough responsibility. As I watch my own wife get up in the middle of the night, as I watch her sacrifice certain activities and things so that she can feed the our child, it is a large responsibility. There's a responsibility to protect the child, and what we're seeing in this text is we're seeing the heart of a mother as she seeks to protect her children. It's interesting that, I mean, this text probably has multiple purposes that God has given it to us, but I believe, I mean, one of them is very clear, God will provide. But I want you to understand something else here, is that we're seeing the heart of a mother at work, and I believe you moms understand this. You moms understand what this woman is dealing with. She has two children. She doesn't have anything in the house to pay this debt. She has a small little bit of oil. And her creditors are knocking at her door, threatening to take away her sons. What does she do? Well, what does she do? She does the only thing she knows how. She contacts the man of God, Elisha. Now, let's remember something. This is before the times of the church. They have prophets in these days, and the prophets were the ones that would speak to the people on behalf of God. God would give the prophets a message, and they would speak. And so these were called men of God. And so the people understood that these certain men, they had some sort of connection with God. And so she needed God. She had responsibility, and she couldn't fulfill them, so she did what? She ran to God. She ran to God. She did it the only way she knew how. She went to the man of God, Elisha. And Elisha says, "What shall I do for you?" And then he says, "Well, tell me, what do you have in your house?" I love that question. What do you have in your house? What do you have? I mean, that remember Moses standing in front of the burning bush, and God tells him, "What is that you have in your hand?" That rod, that staff. Think about how much God used that staff. And here, the question is, what do you have? After she explains her situation, what she says, "Your handmaid has not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." And so what we're seeing here is this is a mom. She's concerned about her children. She's got a responsibility to protect her children and to feed her children. And she's got a lot of things that to be afraid of. She doesn't have much food, and she's about ready to lose her kids. So she's going to God. And the man of God is interacting with her. "And what do you have?" "I have a small bit of oil, but nothing else." You ever feel like you have nothing? Nothing to offer? Isn't this an interesting question? Well, what do you have? Don't think about what you don't have, but think about what you have. What is it that you have? Well, then he says, verse 3, "Go borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors and empty those neighbors." Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, and thou shalt," verse 4, "thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. You know, a mom, and motherhood involves risk. It involves responsibility. Responsibility to feed children, to help protect your children, but also to teach your children. And one of the reasons I love this passage is because the work of God involves the children. It involves the children. And the mom here is including the children in the miracle. She is allowing her children to see how God is at work. And she is understanding and realizing that one of her responsibilities as a mom is allowing her sons to see God, to see how God can do incredible things. So, mom, what are you doing to allow your sons and your daughters to see God at work in your life? Is your spiritual life a private life? A life that no one ever sees unless they accidentally poke their head in the bedroom door in the morning and they might see you reading something in the Bible? Do you talk about what God is doing in your life? Do you allow your kids to be involved in the special things that God is doing? One of the ways that we seek to do that in our house is to make sure our kids know when something is given to us as a family. You know, it's amazing how often God blesses us and gives us food or money or whatever it might be. And we see it as our responsibility to make sure our children are aware that this just didn't something just appear out of nowhere, but this is something God gave us. And children, you see, God meets our needs and He's providing for us. God's doing that. This woman was involving her boys in the process. And she's obeying God. So picture this. She goes and she visits all of her neighbors and she says, "Give me all your empty vessels that you have." Now her neighbors, they give her and her sons, and they get these vessels and they bring them into the house. They close the doors and they are in their home. And they have all these vessels. It's her and her two boys. And the instruction was to begin to pour out the oil into the first vessel. And then they keep doing that, and the boys would bring the vessels. So, what do you think happened? They had the small cruse of oil, and they had a vessel, and they began to pour. And as they poured it in, this one became full. So, okay, son, bring me another. And they began to pour, and this one became full. What do you think was going on in the minds of those boys? Mom, how's that happening? How's that? Mom, we only, that's just a little. How's that? Bring me another one, son. Mom, we still have more. Bring me another one. Mom, we don't have any more left. And as they look around the room, and the room is entirely full of jars of oil, and she sits there and she holds the small cruse of oil they started with. And I believe, I dare say, that those young men were forever impacted by the visual illustration of God's provision. And she, as a mom, she taught her boys something crucial that day. She taught her boys, God will provide. Well, we know the rest of the story. Verse 6 came to pass, and the vessels were full. She said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there's not a vessel more. The oil stopped. And then she came, and she told the man of God, and said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. Responsibility. You know, this mom, she was working hard. And you know what's interesting is God just didn't give her the money. God made her work for it, didn't he? And listen, you know, God just doesn't always just give us something, just give us a handout. Sometimes God wants us to be involved and work in the process, and that's good, and that's important for us. Motherhood involves risk, and there will be hardships and there will be trials. Trust in the Lord, moms. Motherhood involves responsibility. Be faithful to your calling as a mom. Take seriously the responsibility of caring for your children. Take seriously the responsibility of teaching your children. Finally, one other thing as we close. Motherhood involves relationship. I think we would all agree that between the two, mom and dad, mom is probably the more compassionate one. Mom is the one with a tender heart. And this is where I want us to look at this second mother briefly. I will not read the entire text. But what happens here is the Shunammite woman, they take care of Elisha, they put a house up for him, up on their roof, and then this woman, she has a child that God gives her, because she was barren, and God gives her a child. This child grows up, verse 18, so 2 Kings chapter 4, 18, let's pick it up there. When the child was grown, it fell in a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And I find that interesting. The father's out working in the fields. And the son comes out and he tells his dad, my head is hurting. And the dad tells a servant and says, servant, carry him to his mother. Why? It is because of who a mom is in the tender relationship that is found there. Invariably, where do my kids go when they're hurt? They usually go to mom. As I'm learning the compassionate side, now they're starting to come to me, but you know, most of the time they go to mom. It's because mom has the tender and compassionate side. Well, you see what this mom does, verse 20. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. This woman held her son. held him close until he died. You see, moms, I want you to know that I recognize that there is a tender and compassionate side to you that cannot be matched. In fact, what is so interesting is how the Word of God takes the tenderness of a mother and uses it as an illustration of God. I want you to notice this illustration in Isaiah chapter 49. This is Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah is prophesying here to Israel. In Isaiah 49, verse 13, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me." And then God says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have a compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget." And it's what's interesting here is that God, in his inspired word, is associating his compassion here with a woman, but with a mother. But he even says, you know what, sometimes a mom will forsake her child, but you know what, I will never. What the inference is here is that the connection between a mom and a child is so intimate and so close. Motherhood involves tenderness, love, and gentleness. Well, we celebrate you today as moms. We want to recognize that there is risk that you have taken. But we want you to know, and God wants you to know, He's trustworthy. We want you to understand and recognize that there's responsibility upon your shoulders, that I, as a man, I don't know the extents of those responsibilities. Be faithful to your calling. Older women, teach younger women how to love their children. Titus chapter 2 tells us, as a church, we are to be doing that. We want to recognize also that motherhood involves a tender relationship. And I think it would be remiss if we didn't close by reminding all of us that God has infinite compassion and tenderness. He is a tender and compassionate friend. He's a father. It's interesting, in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 10, it says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." The Lord will never forsake you, even when those closest to you may forsake you, but remember, the Lord will take you up. And so perhaps you're here today, and perhaps motherhood has involved a lot of hardships and challenges in your life. I trust that you seek God's face and His Word, that you might be able to trust Him fully through those difficult times. Seek after God. As this woman did, she sought after God. She sought after the man of God. A responsibility, it's large, and we need to admit that, and we honor you today for all that you do in caring for the children that God has given to you. Be faithful to your calling, mothers, realizing that God has designed you to be a faithful minister to these young children. Fathers, don't forget, the Word of God talks to us. We're to be involved, actively involved in our children's lives. It's not just moms. And I want to say thank you to your tender ways for being compassionate and for being merciful. And I want to thank my God. I want to thank you, God, for the tenderness and compassion that you have shown to me in my life. And I dare say, Lord, that each one that's out sitting here before me would recognize and can think through how you have been tender and compassionate in their lives. Lord, even today we're reminded of salvation and how you have shown your love toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, you've died for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would encourage your moms, these moms today. Bless them and bless these families as we all seek to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.